This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Friday to you. If you are into your Friday and maybe you've got big plans for the summer weekend, I would say there are a lot of people who are taking vacation next week, if not the entire week, because you get the built-in July 4th. Is that nuts? July 4th, Jay. It's Thursday. Do you know, last year on July 4th, we were working. I wasn't married yet. In fact, I wasn't even engaged last year on July 4th, crazy enough. But we were working and we did a red, white, and blue edition of Ask Amy Anything.
Yes, we did.
Are we going to do one more of those or no? Is it too late?
No, we can do one.
Anyway, so that was what we did last year on July 4th. This year, both Jay and I are out because we've got plans or, you know, just being able to take holiday. I would be working if not for going back to Texas for a family wedding on my hub side. So, I was prepared to work. I actually enjoy working July 4th because, well, let's be fair, there's no one around. It's super easy. We can talk about hot dogs and red, white, and blue and free agency in the NBA. It's just one of those shows that is more goofy and fun. And we're about being your companion or riding shotgun with you while you're on the road than it is about anything serious in sports. So I do enjoy working holidays, but yeah, got different priorities in 2024. As I found out, different priorities. He's worth it. The family's worth it. I'm actually excited to spend some family time. Haven't seen my mom since we left Houston when we moved back to New Jersey following the wedding and then Christmas. So miss my mama. We've been counting down the days, ready to talk to her in person as opposed to on the phone or video call, and then see the other side of the family as well. And don't tell my mom, we actually have a surprise dinner planned for her to celebrate her retirement after 42 years of teaching. She has no idea. You know what her reaction will be, Jay? You ready for this? I don't know if your mom gives you flack. Probably not. Your mom seems like she's more up and at him and ready to go at the drop of a hat, whereas my mom is not so much. So you have to find a balance between preparing her to get out of the house versus not spoiling it and not giving her too much time to think about it, because then she'll come up with some reason why she can't do it. So a couple years ago, when her husband and I wanted to take her out for a Christmas dinner, we told her 2 days before. I already had the reservation. We were going to Taste of Texas in Houston. Nobody in the family had been to Taste of Texas. It was on her bucket list of restaurants where she wanted to go. But we had to give her enough warning that she could think about it and know she had to get up. My mom's not a morning person. I get it from her. I come by it honestly. The talking and not being a morning person, I get from my mother. Also, the sleeping issues get from my mother. And so we told her a couple days beforehand, I think it was on Christmas, actually, we said to her, Mom, your Christmas present in a couple days, you have to be ready to leave the house at this time. Her initial reaction, no, I swear. Why do we have to go somewhere? You're not going to do this, are you? You're not going to do this, are you? So we managed to get her out of the house. It makes it sound like she's 700 pounds and we have to like put her on a wagon and take her outside. She just doesn't like to get going in the morning. She'd prefer to hang out in her sweatpants in the house with the dog. But anyway, we get her going, and the entire time we're driving to the restaurant, she's trying to guess where we're going. Oh, the funniest guesses ever. Disney on Ice. You know, like whatever. She's coming up with all these different events or shows, concerts, this restaurant, that restaurant. She had no idea till we pulled into the parking lot. So it was all her husband and I could do, just laugh and not give away any clues. But the big thing was getting her out of the house. So here we've got a reservation for an extended group of us, actually part of Bob's family too. And we're going to take her out and we're going to celebrate her retirement. But I guarantee you, when I tell her, whether it's the day before or 2 days before, no, why do we, no, I don't want to go anywhere, Amy. So I'm trying to figure out how to balance it because I don't want to ruin it.
I just want a surprise there, right?
Yes, I wanted to tell her it's a surprise, but I do need her to get ready. Right, like, Mom,
yeah,
can you
get
ready?
Yeah, you want her to know
that
we're doing something at this time on this day.
Maybe I can say, hey, Mom, can we go shopping? How about that?
That could work.
Because she likes to go to places like Joann Fabrics or Michael's or Kohl's just to walk around. So what if I tell her we're going to go shopping and then have lunch? And maybe that would trick her.
You would might need she to would, go shopping after that, though, because she might get excited to go shopping and be like, wait, we're not going shopping?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a fun day, though.
It's a whole project. It's anyway, she's going to push back, but I can't tell her why. Just tell her she has to be ready. We're going to go. And then we told the restaurant it's a special occasion, and hopefully she'll feel special.
Are you meeting everyone there?
So I think we're all going together, unless, as I just kind of threw out there, I promise her we're going shopping.
Right.
And instead we go shopping and then we throw up there.
And meet everyone else there, right?
Right, right. So maybe that's a key.
Is that too, like, overwhelming, though?
For my mom?
You know what I mean? If you're not expecting to, like, be in a setting with people and then all of a sudden, surprise. I guess that's the point of a surprise party.
No, right. It is. But not for my mom. My mom has been in front of teenagers for 42 years, so she's good.
I just meant, like, in terms of you don't want to do that. Like, if you're not in the mood to go out and all of a sudden, oh, now you got to put on your face for everything.
Yeah. No, it'll be so great. There'll be a good video of it for sure.
That would be.
So that's the big thing coming up. In addition to the wedding that we're going to for Bob's side, we've got my mom's surprise retirement meal. It's not a party as in surprise. It's more, hey, Mom, we feel like you need to be honored and you deserve to be celebrated. And this is how we're going to do it. We want you to know you're special type of a thing.
I mean, it sounds lovely.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. It feels a little more low key, but it is something that she won't have time to prepare for other than, hey, Mom, get dressed.
Just go with that, baby.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's coming up next week. So as I say, I will not be here Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. So I'll be out. That's going to be weird. I'll be out for those 3 days. I imagine there'll be a lot of money flowing in the NBA and free agency since it officially begins on Sunday. Yes, free agency officially begins on Sunday, June 30th. That's the last day of June. How is that possible? Jay, 3 weeks away from NFL training camps.
I feel like we were just at the Super Bowl. two weeks
we
ago.
We were just at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from the first training camps. Don't the first ones start on July 21st? Didn't we look at that because of the Hall of Fame game? The first NFL training camps, I'm pretty sure they start on the 21st. We'll confirm. But yeah, that's coming up quickly. As in quickly. Jay's got his finger in the air. Not that one. Stop it. I tell you all the time, it's not that finger. Are you ready? You looking?
I'm looking. July. Oh, even maybe some of them earlier, actually.
For rooks?
Yeah, right. For the rookies. For the rookies, the earliest I see is July 13th.
Stop it with
that. Wow, that's the Ravens rookies report on the 13th.
Jay, that's the week after July 4th.
July 17th, the Texans full players.
Veterans. Yeah, so veterans for the Ravens on July 20th.
Under a month.
Veterans for the Bears on July 19th, as you said. For the Packers, July 21st. Oh my gosh. The Texans, all of their peeps report at the same time. July 17th.
Oh wow. Yeah, look at that.
OMG. The first full team report is the Houston Texans on July 17th. I'll barely have been gone from Houston and they'll already have. That's insane.
We might run into each other on the tarmac.
Are you kidding? It's freaking hot in Houston in July.
Want to see something strange, though? I'm looking at the Indianapolis Colts. Their rookies report on July 24th, which is the latest day, and so are their veterans. But their whole team reports at the same time,
so they're not bringing,
all on the latest day.
Yeah, they're not bringing in rookies early. But in the case of the Texans, they're bringing everyone in early.
Wouldn't the Colts want to kind of get a jump on things? The teams are going to be there a week earlier than anyone on their roster is going to be there? Not worried about it?
I guess it depends. If you don't think you're going to get the full participation, meaning guys are still in summer mode, what's the point of bringing them in early?
I mean, they're really going on the last possible day you can go.
But still, though, the earliest veteran reports, that's the 17th. And then the 19th. That's not even 3 weeks away. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
What happened to our summer?
We hardly knew you.
That's right. We hardly had a chance to celebrate, for heaven's sakes. Okay, well, on that note, how about a little football into your Friday morning?
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Hey, Jay, did you hear the Austin Eckler highlight there? Oh, yeah, that doesn't really work anymore. We might have to tweak that before we get into the 2024 season, though it is coming. And into your football Friday morning. Is it too soon? It's too soon. Into your Friday morning, a little football must fall. How about we talk about rookies? Since we're talking about rookies, right? The NBA has welcomed its new rookie draft class. We just talked about Connor Bedard, who wins the Rookie of the Year, the Calder Trophy. By the way, he's still 18. He doesn't even turn 19 until later in July. Oi, don't get me sidetracked. Let's talk about the quarterbacks, the rookies at the top of the most recent NFL draft. We start with Caleb Williams. And on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Cole Kmet raving about the young rook.
He's really just a normal dude. A really good kid and ultra competitive. And you can see why he's been so successful thus far in his football career, and why he has those type of intangibles to succeed in the NFL. So I'm really excited for him. He's been putting in a lot of work, and you can see the progress that he was making throughout the OTA period. So I'm really excited about him. Obviously, ultra talented, and I think as the people of Chicago get to know him more and more, the more they'll get to like him.
You know what's really funny? When Cole Kmet said he's a really good kid, I thought, wait a minute, am I just remembering Cole's career wrong? He's 25, and he just called Caleb Williams a really good kid. On SiriusXM NFL Radio. Well, you are a kid until you've earned your stripes in the NFL, I suppose. And Jeffrey Simmons of the Tennessee Titans, he was actually on the Rich Eisen show. You'll like this. He is going to be one of those veterans who wants to welcome Caleb to the NFL.
You, Jeffrey Simmons, week one of the National Football League season, will be the first human being on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Pain in nails.
In a game.
Pain in nails.
I can't wait to say that to him.
For right. Caleb Williams.
Well, it's kind of neat, though. So Rich Eisen, you can hear his peanut gallery in the background. They recognize that Jeffrey Simmons will be lining up against Caleb Williams as a D lineman. That's their first battle to start week one in the NFL. And Jeffrey plans to say painted nails. Across the line to him, painted nails. Yo, painted nails. I'm not afraid of you. You've got painted nails.
I'm gonna kill him.
It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, so that's Caleb Williams, number one overall to Chicago. Number two, Jaden Daniels to the Washington, almost said Capitals, to the Washington Commanders. And that's where Austin Eckler resides now. And he's also got high praise for his young rookie quarterback.
We got a stud in Jaden Daniels. He's an absolute stud out there slinging it. I've loved his leadership that he's shown early on. You know, he's texting me about routes. He's calling me out in practice. Hey, Eck, this is what we need to do on this, or what did you see on this choice route? And so he's got all of the right stuff that I'd love to see from a quarterback that he's been bringing out in the first couple weeks that I've met him. And so I'm looking forward to his growth. And we have a lot of veterans, you know, like you mentioned, that we brought in to help set the culture. And so it's been, as you mentioned, it's been a vibe. And so, yeah, I don't want you to look. It's a new year. I don't know what happened here last year. I do, but that's last year. This is a whole new year.
I don't know what happened here last year. Well, I do, but I wasn't a part of it. Just want you to know. Speaking to NFL Network, when he says, again, or you guys mentioned, we just want to remind you what happened last year with the Commanders. They were 4-13. They finished the season with an 8-game losing skid. They traded away two of their top draws on defense, and they also fired their coach. Oh, and by the way, the team got sold. So a lot happened with the Commanders in the 23 season.
Shit, I had a bad day.
Oh, no. I miss Ron already. I miss Riverboat Ron. By the way, Eckler's let it be known, even in the early stages of summer, that you should draft him in fantasy because he will be back. Number 3 pick overall. Well, that went to the New England Patriots. And while we don't yet know who their starting quarterback will be, we know that the rookie head coach and the rookie QB come in together. And Brian Hoyer, who is older than both of them. Actually, I don't know if he's older than Jerod Mayo, but he is a veteran and he speaks highly of Jerod's ability to connect with all the young guys on the New England roster.
I played with Jerod. I came in a year after he did. He was a leader already as a second-year player, a Pro Bowl player, had a great career, you know, ended that career, went into the corporate world. And so he's someone who can relate to this younger generation. I know RC was saying it's the Instagram, it's the likes. You know, Jerod coming right after Bill, that's, you know, he learned from Bill, but he's also bridging that gap to the youth, right? And so Jerod had, you know, learned his lessons from Bill, but he's got his own flavor. He's got his own personality. Mm. And I know talking to some of the guys, they love the way he's approaching it. And, you know, you just got to carry that over to wins in the season.
Brian Hoyer speaking highly of his former teammate, and it's going to be critical for Jerod Mayo to stand in front of them. He gets credibility because he played for Bill Belichick, but to create his own style, to have his own voice. What we heard about Jerod is that he wants the locker room to feel free to come to him, open dialogue sort of thing, very different than Bill Belichick. And the big question from their quarterback room is how quickly can Drake May get ready? The QB out of North Carolina, they drafted him number 3 overall. We know he loves dodgeball with little kids, right? And he is enjoying himself. But when do they want to throw him into the fire after a 4-13 season?
Hoyer and Mayo are the same age, by the way, 38.
Are they? All right. That's interesting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We know LeBron's older than his head coach, Coach Reddick. I got to keep saying it, Coach Reddick. He's a second-year guy, but we didn't see a whole lot of him. Anthony Richardson is trying to recover from the shoulder surgery and be ready to start the season now, or even training camp. He's had a setback. That's been documented, but general manager Chris Ballard is not worried.
He'll be full go. He was full go all the way up until the last day of OTAs. And, you know, we had two heavy throw-in sessions the 2 days before, and so we backed off a little bit the last day, and of course, which sends up, anytime you talk about a shoulder in this city, there's some scars.
Ouch.
That everybody has. So, but he'll be good to go come training camp.
According to Ballard, they're just being really cautious with Richardson's shoulder. And so they kind of pulled him from the end there. They don't want him to do much because of some soreness in the shoulder. But both Ballard and Shane Steichen are saying that this is all precautionary. This is not about him re-injuring his shoulder. Nothing went wrong with the surgery or the rehab. Again, I can understand in the summertime, there is no need for them to rush him, for them to get him out there every day. That would be a bad idea, really putting the cart before the horse. All right, staying in the AFC South, just really quickly, we know Trevor Lawrence just got paid and now is tied with Joe Burrow, $55 million annual salary, is the top two quarterbacks, really the top two players in the NFL. And Shad Khan believes it's worth it. The owner says, we need Trevor in order to get back on track.
Expectations should be up too, that, you know, for us, you know, winning now is expectation. So I think, you know, obviously I've talked to Trevor a lot over the last few years, and you know, from really, that was COVID year, even before the draft. So I'm really, you know, I think he represents the city, he represents the Jaguars. I couldn't ask for anyone better.
a worthy investment, according to Shad Khan, though the Jaguars finished up winning just one of their last six games. Here's the thing, though. We talk so much about the AFC North being the toughest division in football, and I do believe that. Every team in the North was above 500. The Bengals were the worst team and the only one that didn't make the playoffs at 9-8, and that's without Joe Burrow for the second half of the season. But the South was the surprise of the last season of 2023. Texans surged past the Jaguars to win the division title with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in a really young group, so they went 10-7. But remember, both the Jaguars, now the Jaguars came at it the wrong way, but the Jaguars and the Colts were 9-8. And so the only team below 500 was the Titans, who changed coaching staffs. They've obviously got high hopes for Will Levis. They brought in some other pieces. So it could end up being low-key competitive again in 2024.
No matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
Good. Congratulations to Trevor Lawrence. And also a little football Friday into your final Friday of June. And just a warning, your training camps are 3 weeks away. Don't! Thanks for hanging out with us on Twix, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Dwayne's listening in Salt Lake City up next on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think?
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking my call. Great name. I've got a daughter named Amy, and I've got a great-granddaughter named Amy.
Sweet.
I listen to you, and I love it. I love it.
Another crazy night in sports, which means you need a crazy host, and that is me.
Love you, Amy.
You just made my night.
This must be love.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom! I would just like to say that, oh gosh, I think it's been a couple months now, right, that we made the switch to Infinity Sports Network. And I remember saying to Jay, hey, I think we have a bunch of production that includes CBS in with the voice god in him reading our number or talking about the name of the show. And he says to me, nah, there's not that many. And now, no joke, almost every single day this week, he's gone back to some of our older production and whoopsie, there are those three letters again.
I never used that liner, so I use another one. So I forgot all about it. And it's in there just tucked away on ones I don't use too often. Try to bring them back.
Have you deleted it?
Well, I'll amend it. So I don't want to lose the whole production, so I can just get rid of that liner and fix it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see. If the next time it comes up, all of a sudden I see your face go ashen white.
I knew it right away.
What? Whoa. What's happening? It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It doesn't really matter the name of the network, I suppose, as long as you're listening. And then you are welcome to find us online. Here's what I think is the perfect thing for you. Number one, some Patrick Mahomes humor. We're talking about the quarterbacks. We're going to bring you some new Pat Mahomes humor. But has there ever been a better morning? Have you ever needed to watch a pig race from the fair more than you do right now? Jay, honest question. Do you think our nation could benefit from watching the pig racing video that I shared earlier in the week? This might be the morning for it.
I think it would brighten moods, yes.
It is... an infallible way to produce a smile on your face. So I'm going to retweet it, repost it on our Facebook page because I feel like there are a lot of people out there, including me. Can I tell you, all week when I was stressed, I thought, I'm going to go watch the pig race because it makes me laugh every time. This might be a morning when we have a mad dash to watch animal videos on social and the pig racing needs to be a part of it. I promise you, it will change your entire mood in the span of a minute and 41 seconds, because that's how long it took the pigs to get around the track. 855-212-4227 and Patrick Mahomes. Why not? Jay found this clip, which does include video, except that we're not a video-oriented medium at this particular moment. I suppose I could change. But yeah, he's busy in his off season, and why not? If Patrick Mahomes is the next, say, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Those two guys are hawking products and recording commercials and ads and endorsing whatever is brought to them. If Peyton can do it, so can Pat.
I can't let you shoot this Coors Light commercial.
Why not? It's really cool and high stakes.
It says so right here. No player shall be allowed to promote a beer while they play professional football, no matter how cool and high stakes it is. They even bolded that last part.
So that's it? No children?
Sorry. Just rules are rules, people.
What are we supposed to do?
You could do it anyway. Hide it in a time capsule. Bury it underground for years until you eventually retire, then dig it up and show it to everyone.
That's insane.
The Coors Light time capsule commercial to be unearthed someday in the future when Patrick Mahomes finally has permission to promote our beer.
So the Coors Light time capsule features Patrick Mahomes, but here's what I need. I'm watching it as we're airing it. It's got to be someone that we know. It's got to be someone that is one of us should know. So thumbs up to the time capsule for Coors Light to be unearthed someday in the future when Patrick Mahomes finally has permission to promote this particular brand. So he's digging up a hole in the earth to put his Coors Light time capsule. But who's the dude who says to him time capsule? Jay has no idea. And I don't know either, but I swear we're supposed to know who he is. I'm telling you, he's someone famous, and you and I are so uncool that we don't know who it is.
Trying to find him.
It's cute. It's a cute commercial. It really could kind of work. That concept could work for anything, to bury it in the ground for the time capsule. But we need to know who the other person is. All right, someone watch and figure it out. Oh my gosh. This is why we need actual football back. There's also a Coors Light commercial he does with a bear. Have you seen that one? It's not a real bear. It's CG. It's computer graphics / AI. And the bear talks. So yeah, he hangs out with the Coors Light bear. I guess that one has to go in the time capsule as well. Jay's so quiet over there. I'm sure he's Googling things.
I have no idea who this man is.
Okay. All right. Someone will tell us. The 2-time NFL MVP. He's got his own shovel. That's all I'm saying. There's no one there shoveling for him. Patrick Mahomes is shoveling himself. Is it true, though, that NFL players can't promote alcohol?
I had never knew that, but thinking about it, yeah, I can't remember any athlete who's actively promoted like Budweiser, right? They're all former, like Peyton and Eli. They all did this stuff after they retired.
That's true.
But I'm thinking, is there any current athlete who's involved in gambling or promoting that? A current athlete? Because to me, that would be like the same idea. But I don't know if that's a rule, too. I can't think of one.
Well, except that alcohol can't get you banned from the NFL, where gambling can. A little bit different.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not anyone famous. I figured it had to be. They wouldn't put him in there if it wasn't someone famous.
I think it's just supposed to be a creepy guy.
That's creepy. Why is he creepy? Never mind. Don't answer that question.
Just a creepy bartender.
It's a football Friday, peeps. And yeah, beware, because training camps are on the horizon. You better enjoy your summer now, because the NFL they encroach on your territory before you're ready. On Twix and Facebook, we're glad to have you with us. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Happy almost weekend. Coming up, it's a different kind of football. Team USA falls to Panama, but there's a twist. Yeah, this is rough. This is not how you want to go through Copa America, and we'll explain.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
For
Murillo. Murillo lobs it up in the air. Robinson got to be careful. It's knocked away by Ayarza. Hooks it back in the middle. It's in. Panama score. The pressure finally breaks through. And it's Jose Fajardo that's given Panama the lead with 7 minutes to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A double whammy for Team USA. Although with the caveat, and this is what I'm worried about, with the caveat that the U.S. soccer team does not have to qualify for the next World Cup. We get in as the red, white, and blue because we are one of the host nations, the primary host nation. It bothers me a little bit because I feel like I need the team to have a sense of urgency. Now, there may be that sense of urgency and that tension for the individual players as they pursue roster spots. There's a competition among them for a limited number of spots that will play in that World Cup. And of course, they all want to play in the 2028, is it eight? Six games, because not games, the 2026 Cup, because it's here. This has got to be the dream. We're the host nation, along with Canada and Mexico, and it's got to be the dream for them to be on the roster and to be able to play in front of the home crowds. Not that American fans don't travel well to other parts of the world for the World Cup, but this is something special and may only come around once in their lifetimes, forget once in their playing careers. So I know it's not worth worrying about whether they beat Panama in Copa, but still, I don't love the idea that they're sloppy. Maybe it's just because it's early and they're working things out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, there was a couple of goals from Panama. After the U.S. takes a 1-0 lead, Panama responds with a couple of goals. The go-ahead one coming in the 83rd minute. But that really is aside. The big story here is that they ended up having to play a good portion of this game with only 10 guys on the field because one of the veterans, Tim Way, he gets hit with a red card. We haven't seen the video, not a yellow and then a red, just a straight red card. He was initially given a yellow card for an arm to the back of the head of one of the Panamanian players. But on review, see, it's not just the other football that has review or baseball, NBA. In fact, we see this a lot in the NBA when it comes to judging whether or not a hit to the head or the neck area is a flagrant foul. And they judged on looking at the video review that he should go straight to a red card. It's like, go, you know, crossing, you don't cross go, you don't get your $200, you go straight to jail in Monopoly. And apparently, according to Greg Berhalter, who's the manager of the team, they had actually warned the players prior to the game. We know about this referee. We recognize that he's got a pattern. And according to Berhalter, even with that warning, Team USA still played right into Panama's hands. I mean, not that the referee is trying to affect the outcome of the game. I'm not saying that. Only that if you know various officials and referees, if you've had them on your field, your court, your ice long enough, you recognize, hey, this one tends to call more of these particular fouls, or this one is a hawk when it comes to this particular violation. So you get to know their tendencies. And, you know, Berhalter is saying, like, we warned them about this, and still Tim made this mistake. Now, according to his teammates, Tim took responsibility for it, even at halftime. Again, this happened in the first half, meaning that they were stuck the rest of the game shorthanded. But Tyler Adams says that Tim was taking responsibility.
You never mean to get a red card under no circumstances. He's not that type of person. He apologized to the team and, you know, again, just respect to the rest of the team because they fought for every single ball, every single duel, every single minute, and we still created chances after going down to 10 men, so it shows our quality. So, again, all to play for in the last game.
I can't fault the effort of the group, especially after going down a man. The guys dug in, and we were close to coming out with a point. But, you know, it's a shame because there was more in this game, and, you know, silly decision by Timmy. you know, leaves us shorthanded. It led to, you know, some strange circumstances for sure.
Interestingly enough, similar to what the Oilers did in the Stanley Cup final, they actually scored shorthanded. So they get the first goal, but then Panama is able to seize that advantage away. But Tyler Adams talking to Fox there, and then Greg Berhalter on another Zoom call. Jay, why? Why on a Zoom call?
He wasn't actually. It was just,
he was off mic.
No, that was just what it was. I don't know. I don't know what the game was.
Are you sure? Did someone get it off of social media and that's why it sounds like that?
So I don't know.
Interesting. All right. It was in Atlanta, so it wasn't out of the country. Oh, gosh, so much happening in Atlanta. Once again, another sporting event that didn't get much attention at all because of its placement on Thursday night. But, yeah, Panama ends up winning this game. They don't get a point. And Greg Berhalter, he actually references that. Now going into their next game, qualifying kind of off the table. But now going into their next game against Uruguay, they have to play without him because if you get a red card, you're automatically suspended for your next match. And in order to avoid being eliminated early in Copa, Team USA needs to win that game. Now, it shouldn't be. It should be a win. I'll just say that. It should be a win. But I don't know. Sometimes early in the qualifying process, sometimes when it comes to Team USA and they haven't been together for a while, I mean, as you could imagine, it takes some time to gel. And it feels like they're slow starters a lot of the time. There is a challenge to it. As opposed to other national teams around the world, they practice and play together more frequently than does Team USA. And this same thing for, say, USA women's basketball or some of the other team sports where you've got professionals who are spread out all over the place. And so it's a different feel when you only have a couple of weeks to get together for a training camp or practices, and then boom, you're right into competition. Now, this is the formula that Team USA uses, but it does sometimes feel like it's slow start. And it could take them a while to find their rhythm, find their groove, and that makes sense. But it in this particular round where they're not qualifying, I still say there's a lot of value to be had in them playing games together. If nothing else, it's reps. It's a chance for evaluation. This is the opportunity. There are a couple years left. This is the one. I felt like Team USA and US Soccer, and just as, can I tell you, this is a side note for those of you who haven't listened to the show for a really long time. We did, and I'm going to say it was 2015. We once did a show, and this probably would have been a June show or a late May show. It was late spring, early summer. And I'm pretty sure that it was 2015 because that's when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, right? It was in 2015. And I remember asking people, what is the one big sports event, the one big victory, the one big happening that you would like to see in your lifetime, right? So we put that question out to the listening audience. And by far, the number one response, U.S. men's soccer team winning a World Cup. That was by far the number one response. You know what's pretty crazy is that the other two that were in the top three, a Triple Crown winner and the Cubs winning the World Series, which happened in back-to-back years. And so here we are about to host a World Cup, and it's time. We've got an incredible group of athletes. A lot of them are young. We talked about this going back to the last World Cup where there was a ton of youth on this team. They were one of the youngest clubs in all of the world. Christian Pulisic is one of the best players in the world. This is it. You don't have the pressure of qualifying, which again, I don't love, but you don't have the pressure of qualifying so you can use it for evaluation. You can use it to press in. You can use it to make sure that this is our best showing ever as a nation. This is it. This is when we can do it. Except I'm nervous because so far in this Copa tournament, it feels like more of the same. I know Greg Berhalter's back. He had his sojourn, everything that happened with the Reyna family, and he's back now with Team USA. And there were a lot of positives with Berhalter for the last World Cup. They did make the elimination stage. Still, though, a lot of times for me, and I'm hope I'm wrong, come 2026, it's one step forward, two steps back. Make progress, but it's never quite enough. A lot of times it's so frustrating to me, and I've been watching U.S. soccer for a long time. I love U.S. soccer. I grew up on soccer when I was a kid, and even into college, was the PA announcer for our men's soccer team. And I love the game. I do think it's a beautiful game. Maybe not the beautiful game, but a beautiful game. And I'd love to travel internationally and talk football with others. For instance, when I've been in Cuba, when I've been in Ecuador, I've got some incredible memories playing soccer with little kids. There are 2 and 3 year olds that could school me with a soccer ball. Anyway, soccer is, it's so beloved, and it brings nations and families and cultures and communities together. It's awesome what it does around the world. And all you need is some open space and a ball. A lot of times I've run into kids around the world, including Ecuador. The ball's flat. All they want you to do is give them one of those little pumps that you can put air in the soccer ball. Anyway, this is it. If we're ever going to realize this dream, I feel like this is it. And that should be the driving force behind Team USA. There should be such a sense of urgency and intensity to this non-qualifying, put your roster together process. You got to represent on your own soil. I'll give you a couple years. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And we were close to coming out with a point. But, you know, it's a shame because there was more in this game. And, you know, silly decision by Timmy, you know, leaves us shorthanded. It led to, you know, some strange circumstances for sure.
Interestingly enough, similar to what the Oilers did in the Stanley Cup final, they actually scored shorthanded. So they get the first goal, but then Panama is able to seize that advantage away. But Tyler Adams talking to Fox there, and then Greg Berhalter on another Zoom call. Jay, why? Why on a Zoom call?
He wasn't actually. It was
He was off mic?
No, that was just what it was. I don't know. I don't know what the game was.
Are you sure? Did someone get it off of social media and that's why it sounds like that?
So I don't know.
Interesting. All right. It was in Atlanta, so it wasn't out of the country. Oh, gosh, so much happening in Atlanta. Once again, another sporting event that didn't get much attention at all because of its placement on Thursday night. But, yeah, Panama ends up winning this game. They don't get a point. And Greg Berhalter, he actually references that. Now going into their next game, qualifying kind of off the table. But now going into their next game against Uruguay, they have to play without him because if you get a red card, you're automatically suspended for your next match. And in order to avoid being eliminated early in Copa, Team USA needs to win that game. Now, it shouldn't be. It should be a win. I'll just say that. It should be a win. But I don't know. Sometimes early in the qualifying process, sometimes when it comes to Team USA and they haven't been together for a while, I mean, as you could imagine, it takes some time to gel. And it feels like they're slow starters a lot of the time. There is a challenge to it. As opposed to other national teams around the world, they practice and play together more frequently than does Team USA. And this same thing for, say, USA women's basketball or some of the other team sports where you've got professionals who are spread out all over the place. And so it's a different feel when you only have a couple of weeks to get together for a training camp or practices, and then boom, you're right into competition. Now, this is the formula that Team USA uses, but it does sometimes feel like it's slow start. And it could take them a while to find their rhythm, find their groove, and that makes sense, but it in this particular round where they're not qualifying, I still say there's a lot of value to be had in them playing games together. If nothing else, it's reps. It's a chance for evaluation. This is the opportunity. There are a couple years left. This is the one. I felt like Team USA and U.S. soccer, and just as, can I tell you, this is a side note for those of you who haven't listened to the show for a really long time. We did, and I'm going to say it was 2015. We once did a show, and this probably would have been a June show or a late May show. It was late spring, early summer. And I'm pretty sure that it was 2015 because that's when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, right? It was in 2015. And I remember asking people, what is the one big sports event, the one big victory, the one big happening that you would like to see in your lifetime, right? So we put that question out to the listening audience. And by far, the number one response, U.S. men's soccer team winning a World Cup. That was by far the number one response. You know what's pretty crazy is that the other two that were in the top three, a Triple Crown winner and the Cubs winning the World Series, which happened in back-to-back years. And so here we are about to host a World Cup, and it's time. We've got an incredible group of athletes. A lot of them are young. We've talked about this going back to the last World Cup where there was a ton of youth on this team. They were one of the youngest clubs in all of the world. Christian Pulisic is one of the best players in the world. This is it. You don't have the pressure of qualifying, which again, I don't love, but you don't have the pressure of qualifying so you can use it for evaluation. You can use it to press in. You can use it to make sure that this is our best showing ever as a nation. This is it. This is when we can do it. Except I'm nervous because so far in this Copa tournament, it feels like more of the same. I know Greg Berhalter's back. He had his sojourn, everything that happened with the Reyna family, and he's back now with Team USA. And there were a lot of positives with Berhalter for the last World Cup. They did make the elimination stage. Still, though, a lot of times for me, and I'm hope I'm wrong, come 2026, it's one step forward, two steps back. Make progress, but it's never quite enough. A lot of times it's so frustrating to me, and I've been watching U.S. soccer for a long time. I love U.S. soccer. I grew up on soccer when I was a kid, and even into college, was the PA announcer for our men's soccer team. And I love the game. I do think it's a beautiful game. Maybe not the beautiful game, but a beautiful game. And I'd love to travel internationally and talk football with others. For instance, when I've been in Cuba, when I've been in Ecuador, I've got some incredible memories playing soccer with little kids. There are 2 and 3 year olds that could school me with a soccer ball. Anyway, soccer is, it's so beloved and it brings nations and families and cultures and communities together. It's awesome what it does around the world. And all you need is some open space and a ball. A lot of times I've run into kids around the world, including Ecuador. The ball's flat. All they want you to do is give them one of those little pumps that you can put air in the soccer ball. Anyway, this is it. If we're ever going to realize this dream, I feel like this is it. And that should be the driving force behind Team USA. There should be such a sense of urgency and intensity to this non-qualifying, put your roster together process. You got to represent on your own soil. I'll give you a couple years. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.